Chapter 26. For a few seconds, it didn't really seem necessary to breathe. I just looked. Long, slick strands of duct tape wrapped around my sister's arms and legs. She wore gold lamé hot pants and a skimpy silk blouse tied above her navel. Her hair was pulled back tight, her eyes were unnaturally wide, and she breathed rapidly through her nose, since her mouth, too, was held closed by a strip of duct tape that went across her lips and down to the table to hold her head still. I tried to think of something to say, but realized my mouth was too dry to say it, and so I just looked. Deborah looked back. There were many things in her eyes, but the plainest was fear, and that held me there in the doorway. I had never seen that look on her before, and I was not sure what to think about it. I took half a step toward Deborah, and she flinched against the duct tape. Afraid? Of course, but afraid of me? I was here to rescue her, most likely. Why should she be afraid of me? Unless... had I done this? During my little nap earlier this evening, what if Deborah had arrived at my apartment, as scheduled, and found my dark passenger behind the wheel of the Dextermobile? And unknown to me, I had brought her here and taped her so tantalizingly to the table without consciously realizing it. Which made absolutely no sense, naturally. Had I raced home and left myself the Barbie doll, then gone upstairs and flopped on the bed and woke up as me again, like I was running some kind of homicidal relay race? Impossible. But how else had I known to come here? I shook my head. There was no way I could have picked this one cold box out of all the places in Miami, unless I already knew where it was. And I did. The only way that could be possible was if I had been here before. And if not tonight with Deb, then when and with whom? I was almost sure this was the right spot, a voice said. A voice so very like my own that for a moment I thought I had said it, and I wondered what I meant by that. The hair went up on the back of my neck, and I took another half step toward Deborah, and he came forward out of the shadow. The soft light of the lanterns lit him up, and our eyes met. For a moment the room spun back and forth, and I didn't quite know where I was. My sight shifted between me at the door and him at the small makeshift work table. And I saw me seeing him, then I saw him seeing me. In a blinding flash, I saw me on the floor, sitting still and unmoving, and I didn't know what that vision meant. Very unsettling. And then I was myself again, although I was somewhat uncertain what that meant. Almost sure, he said again, a soft and happy voice like Mr. Rogers' troubled child. But now here you are, so this must be the right place, don't you think?